Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
you're welcome.
My point, well, is this Matt Hamilton?
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
Do you have a question for Jason, or how is he supposed to respond to this?
He asked the questions to me. No bats.
By hanging up.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton with you. Primetime Waller, Sean behind the glass. We're excited to be joined by Jason Wilde. And, Jason, we've had a heated exchange here at the office. We'll get to some Packers stuff, but I'm going to add a second layer to this question about s'mores. One, how do you take your marshmallow, golden brown or burnt? And then the other question is, because this is also a move that we've done, the Rutledge family has not had Hershey chocolate bars in a s'more in, I would say, 5 years. We go with the peanut butter cup. Okay. So turn your microphone on.
Yeah,
so,
that actually sounds okay.
Yeah, that's elite. So, Jason, how do you take your marshmallow, and do you go with Hershey's chocolate or peanut butter cup for a s'more?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't like s'mores. They're too messy. You can
Killing
now. Here's
me,
the weird thing. I really enjoy s'mores cereal, with like kind of the Cocoa Puff-ish round circular objects, the Golden Graham-ish square objects, and little marshmallows. But yeah, because no one ever gets. I mean, unless you're a psychopath and you like to burn your marshmallow.
The best way.
No one ever gets it right.
Oh, I'm king, by the way, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he spends 10 minutes.
I know you have a very, I understand you have a very high opinion of yourself. I get that, and I respect it.
I might be the world's greatest s'more toaster, honestly.
Great.
Well, yeah. You are, if they ever have that in the Olympics.
Maybe it'll be better than fourth place.
I was not going to say that. What I was going to say was, you know, there are, like, didn't Eric Heiden go from, like, speed skating to, like, bike riding, like, cycling? Didn't he do that after his, there are definitely Olympians who change sports.
Right.
After they were successful in one.
You transition to curling, not out of curling to another sport. This is the fallback when you're older.
If they add marshmallow cooking, maybe you've got to, you know, they're thinking about flag football. Who says that you can't do marshmallow roasting?
That's a good point.
If you want to add just being a pain in the ass about everything, Matt Hamilton, hot dogs, marshmallows,
also
like
a hero.
Everything has got to be like a 10 out of 10. Because my whole take was like a marshmallow, it's only going to be so good. So to me, a difference between like a 7.5 marshmallow and a 10 marshmallow is negligible. Same with a hot dog. Like you're only going to make it so good. Matt, like the hot dogs, what do you do with your hot dogs?
You score them.
You score them. Let's just make the hot dog and let's get moved.
Oh, man.
It can only be so good.
I promise you, it is a game changer.
It's not a game
when
changer.
When it comes to hot dogs. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, Anthony Belton, that's a game changer. He's signed.
Tony.
I want to ask about, because the Bears signed Luther Burden the first, is a contract that I guess is record setting the idea. He's the first 39th overall pick that's been signed to a guaranteed contract. We're going to see more and more guaranteed contracts in the second round. I think that's great. But at some point, do you think we're going to see more and more years where second-round picks, I think still more than half of them, are not signed? So is this going to be kind of the new norm?
I don't. It's a great question because it's really funny based on the collusion story that was going on about the fully guaranteed contracts and how the NFL didn't want them to do that after Deshaun Watson. Yep. And, you know, this all started with the Houston Texans, who signed Jaden Higgins like the day after the draft and fully guaranteed his deal. And look, I haven't seen the numbers on Belton's, but like the first guy to sign after Higgins and Schlesinger, who was the first pick of the second round with the Browns, who also got a guaranteed contract. Apparently that's all the Browns do these days. But those guys were the two that got it, and then there was obviously this long time, and then the 49ers signed their guy, and I think his deal was like $10.8 million, and like over $9 million of it was guaranteed, but not all of it. You know, that to me, you know, this is agents trying to find ways to market themselves to other prospective clients and be able to flex. Hey, I got my guy a fully guaranteed contract, right? And so they're all trying to do it. I don't know if Belton got one or not. My inclination is to say no. I think that there'll probably be, as you mentioned, who was the 39th pick that got a guaranteed deal?
Luther Burden.
Right, and the Bears never make any mistakes in contracts, so I'm sure that's a wise thing to do.
But doesn't come back to be a burden in the future.
I think he's going to be better than Golden, so he will be a burden to you.
No, I'll get out.
But that was a pretty good dad joke. I felt like I didn't have the opportunity to laugh properly at it, but well done, Matthew.
Thank you, Jason. Go on.
Right. No, that's enough.
Okay, all right, so Evan Cohen asked this question. We had him on yesterday. It started with me saying that if you were going to accurately describe Green Bay, you'd actually call it QB Town and not Title Town. And then he asked the question about Jordan Love. Is he a finished product? And Molly's the only one that actually answered it strongly. So, Molly, what was your answer? And then we'll ask Jason the same question.
My answer to this question is basically Jordan Love, in my opinion, has one more year to actually prove
it. So he's not a finished product, in your opinion?
He's not a finished product yet. This is the I am only giving him the rest of this season to prove what he is, because right now I just think he's very consistently inconsistent. So this year is going to prove a lot to me.
So no. So Jason, yes. Is Jordan Love a finished product? I know you had some interesting stuff to say on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, no, he better not be.
That's a great
right?
answer.
If you're a Packers fan, right? I don't think he is. First of all, as much as I want to spend more time with Paula and the girls and the cats and the dogs and the hamsters and the fish in our house, I am glad training camp is starting. I'm going to miss them. I prefer them over my beat writer colleagues and players and LaFleur, but it's in the words of Kevin Green, it is time to talk about new things and get new information and have new observations and have new things to look at and talk about. Like, I'll be honest with you, I am so excited that they signed Anthony Belton and that Elton Jenkins is on the non-football injury list to start camp, because I have two tiny little morsels of stories to write that I'm working on right now for channel3000.com. Like, woohoo, something. And it's so tiny, right? It's minuscule, but I'm so exhausted by just, you know, repeatedly having, you know, different versions of the same conversation. But Molly, out freaking standing answer. I'm going to completely plagiarize it.
I was going to say, you can steal it for your show.
I'm going to. I'll credit you, Ibid. I never understood what Ibid was. But be that as it may, look, you're right. Because if he's going to be the latest in the long line of at least two quarterbacks that were Hall of Fame caliber players, you know, Rodgers will obviously be first ballot whenever he gets the chance to go in. But if he's going to be able to be mentioned in their same sentence and legitimately done so, he's got a long ways to go still, because great quarterbacks don't just flash greatness. They deliver it on a regular basis.
Jason,
and Rodgers delivered it more than Favre did, but Love has not delivered it nearly enough. So this is a pivotal year for him. You guys have heard me say that 1,000 times. And I just didn't put it as eloquently as Molly did.
All right. So, Jason, I know this one's going to be tough for you because I'm going to ask for a definitive answer or number.
You can, hey, Matt, you can ask for whatever you want.
Yeah. You'll get what you get. So, like, if Jordan Love's, let's say, how he is as a finished product is like a picture. What percent of that picture is complete? Like, how fully painted do you think Jordan Love is? Because you said you need one more year. Does that mean he's two-thirds in because he's had two full seasons as a starter?
Maybe a little bit less, right? Because if you want to use the injury stuff and the drops last year that prevented you, like, so you're saying like Bob Ross is doing one of his episodes of The Joy of Painting, and so we're gonna put some happy little trees over here. There's been some happy accidents, right? Mm-hmm. If we're being honest about how he's played, especially throwing five interceptions in his last five quarters plus one snap, because I went and looked it up because I had mentioned this to you guys before. His first interception of the two he threw in San Francisco was on the final his final pass of the third quarter. But I guess two thirds. Like, if the painting is definitely not finished yet. I love that analogy. I love the Bob Ross channel. The girls and Paula hate that I have the TV set on. If the cable box isn't on and you turn on the TV, Samsung has like all these channels that I don't know what most of them are, but one of them is the Bob Ross channel, and I discovered it a couple months ago. And so Bob Ross is perpetually on the television if you turn it on and then forget about it. So I think it's a great analogy, but, Bob Ross's paintings, and I love Bob Ross. I got a little bobblehead of him here on my desk where I'm talking to you from. See if you can hear this. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, bobble, 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 got it.
Yeah, there you go. He actually talks. He's washing his brush. But look, his paint. No one's going to confuse Bob Ross with the great painters, right? He's not Monet. He's not one of the all-time legendary classical painters, right? He didn't do the Sistine Chapel. He does little outhouses in the foreground of a mountain, right? You better hope that Jordan Love is while maybe popular and likable like my guy Bob Ross, that there are more masterpieces too, if we're going to take this analogy further, because he's had a couple. Like the one against his performance against Dallas was definitely a masterpiece. His performance against the 49ers was looking really good, and then it kind of burst into flames. So we'll see what he paints moving forward, but again, Molly, you crushed this. I as much as I want to like this, the painting analogy, one more year before we say he's. And look, let me add this. None of us are finished products, right? Like we all should look at it as we're either getting better or we're getting worse, like they say in the NFL. And I'm working at that, and we all should be. If say we have a secret that we haven't told our spouses about something that happened. Some point, maybe we need to.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Face the music.
No idea what you're talking about.
I know
the perfect concert to break that news. Too.
Oh, tell me which one.
Coldplay's in town tomorrow. So,
well,
guys,
now that is a timely joke, ladies and gentlemen.
That was pretty good. Jim is kind of funny. Do we have time to ask you one more question, Jason?
I don't have time to ask as many questions as you want.
Okay, I didn't know if you had a hard out or anything, so I wanted to be mindful of your time. So I
hate that. Can we not use that phrase?
Hard out? Yeah, I don't like that word either.
Is there a time we absolutely positively have to let you go by? How about that? It's a little longer, but fair. I kind of like it better.
Hard out. We'll try to brainstorm something for the next time that you're on the show.
Yeah.
You won't. You're lying to me now, as opposed to keeping information from me.
Molly's got your back.
Yes. Jason, so I loved listening to Willie and Tosh this morning because
I'm sorry.
No. It was good because I feel like we don't often get the times where you get the chance to really speak your mind and flesh out your entire, at least try to flesh out what you're exactly trying to say. And today was one of those days where you had a couple minutes that you were able to give your full thoughts. Because from what I gathered, you guys had a texter that said that the Milwaukee Bucks swing for the fences more often than the Green Bay Packers do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So I know you and Tausch were going back and forth at it, but like, do you think that the Packers should swing for the fences more?
No, God bless our fans. I'm extremely thankful that our show is as popular as it is and that people care what we think. I would appreciate it if they paid a little closer attention sometimes, or at least some of them did, because I was not in any way advocating. Like, the whole point of the discussion was that the Bucks swung for the fences mm-hmm. with acquiring Dame. Not only did they not hit a home run, not only did they swing and miss on strike three, but they ruptured their Achilles. They swung so hard and failed, right? I mean, it's not his fault. There's a guy up here that used to do commercials for like a weight loss clinic. He would always say, it's not your fault, you're fat, which is totally false. Like, it's my fault I'm fat. But it's not their fault that he ruptured his Achilles in that playoff game. It's not. They took a chance. It failed spectacularly. But the whole point of it is, the discussion was, if you swing for the fences, this can happen. And so, no, I am not in any way advocating that they need to do it more often and that this kind of risky behavior is the way to go about building your football team. What frustrated me was that, like, look, signing two really good free agents is not swinging for the fences either, regardless of what my brilliant, genius colleague and friend might have tried to claim. Like, great home run, grand slam signings, if we want to keep the baseball thing going. Like, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney were great signings.
Yep.
I think of swinging for the fences when you are in the vicinity of a championship, and you go out and get someone that under normal circumstances, if you weren't on the cusp of a title, you wouldn't get. They needed a running back. They had decided that Aaron Jones wasn't good enough. They needed a safety because A.J. Dillon, which was what I was trying to say to Tosh, when you pick him in the second round, mm-hmm. he's supposed to be your freaking starting running back for the next. He's supposed to be Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy ran laps around A.J. Dillon in terms of what he accomplished in his Packers career. Everybody forgets that. And Darnell Savage was a miss, so you sign Xavier McKinney. But those aren't swinging for the fences would be if the Green Bay Packers, right now, after in the middle of my Anthony Belton story, trade for Trey Hendrickson. That is swinging for the fences. And they don't do that. And I'm not saying they should have done it more. I think Aaron Rodgers would say they should have done it more during his time here. I would say that there were probably opportunities, and they chose not to, and they don't have a title now since 2010. But, no, that was why I was so exasperated. It was because it was like, I'm hating on Goody, of course, by saying that they should be swinging for the fences more. No. But there are instances, and the statement is true. The Packers don't swing for the fences very often. And I don't think they should do it a lot more often, but maybe occasionally more often would be smart.
No, I love hearing it because, like I said, my ears perk up when we get this kind of Jason on Wilde and Tausch. I'm not kidding. I love it.
Because it's so rare.
Yeah, I mean, It's interesting hearing from your perspective what you think. And I don't take it as like Goody hate or anything. I'm sure people do. But like, to me, I take it as you're not biased, that you can actually see the team for what it is. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love you, Molly. I appreciate that. If you want to jump into the YouTube comments next time I'm doing this on the
Will
show,
do.
Please feel free. because I'm just a hater otherwise.
I'll go after the haters.
There you go. Do it from your burner account.
Okay, sounds good.
Sizzling takes from our good friend Jason Wilde. There are sizzling steaks at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. Jason, thank you so much for hopping on with us.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde, Molly Brown and Jason Wilde with some sizzling hot takes. The plates come out, the steaks come out on sizzling hot plates at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. They can have it cooked to perfection. Go enjoy their sizzle, swizzle, and swirl happy hour. Say hi to Lee, say hi to Kevin, and get yourself an old-fashioned and a steak sandwich. It feels like that kind of day, or otherwise a burger over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Great options. Go see our friends over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton, the best happy hour in Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I feel like that is a large part. Two actors from The Office. Yes, you're right.
Are they curlers?
No, they're just also celebrities. No big deal.
Oh, my God. I gotta go.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.